Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
And I'll never let go of you.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to this evening production of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. I am Dapreeza Abdul-Hadi, engineering this evening for our host, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark Shahid. Everybody just be patient. Be patient. Everybody be patient. Alhamdulillah.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Dapreeza. Alaykum as-salam to you, Dapreeza Hadi, and to our IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sahala alayhi wa sallam ba'd. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshiped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. And we want to welcome all of our guests that have chimed in today, and especially those who chimed in for the first time. We want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. We ask that you do bring questions and comments to the learning lab. And I'm very much aware that many listen in to IWDM Radio by way of the Internet. And we'd like for you to be a participant in asking a question or making a comment. And you can do that simply by dialing into the studio. Please get your notebook and your ink pens and your pencils sharp tonight. I think you might learn something noteworthy that you might want to ask a question or make a comment, or maybe just chime in, something that's resonating with you. And those listening by the Internet, you have to dial in. The number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. We want to just say, before we introduce our special guest couple, that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is fast approaching its eighth year. It began on our sister station, AM 360 Radio, all the way back on October the 13th. The year was 2015, so we'll have a celebration, inshallah, next month in celebrating our eighth year on IWDM Radio and AM 360 Radio. We want you to know that this learning lab, like the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, has a foundation. And we have three sources, not resources, but three sources that we use for that foundation. The first is Al-Quran. That's the final revelation for all of humanity, the Quran. And then we have, as our second source, is the life example of the prophet in living the Quran. And the third and final source is the tafsir. Tafsir is, just simply put, is the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. These are the three components and sources that we use for the foundation in terms of disseminating information and education on this learning lab. And so what we teach in terms of the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage. I want to just say, for better than 2 months, going on 3 months, I think it is 3 months now, we've instituted the true love recipe. This is my own personal true love recipe. And Allah blessed me with this years ago. Inshallah, we'll have it in a book next year. Using the English alphabet, 26 letters from A to Z. And these ingredients we call qualities and characteristics that don't have any artificial flavors or coloring in it. All are natural and organic qualities and characteristics being ingredients, and the only preservatives are the natural preservatives that are designed to sustain and maintain a long, healthy, happy, sacred institution of marriage. Now, this is my recipe, but you're always free and welcome to make some addendums, deletions, or even modifications. And so we'll be asking you later on in this production, would this be in your recipe? And so the last 3 months, we've had some outstanding couples to come on, couples that have been married for 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 60 years in the sacred institution of marriage. And we even had two young couples to come on, one getting married in their junior year at the Atlanta W.D. Muhammad High School there in Atlanta, and then one couple getting married 1 year after graduating and still married. So what is the objective? Simple. The objective is to hear from those couples who have had a successful relationship, and hopefully they will be inspirational and motivational for this sacred institution of marriage, because it is so vitally important, so much so, that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said in a very sahih, meaning very firm, solid hadith, that marriage is one half of the deen, one half of the religion, because that becomes the practical application of social responsibility. And he said, and let them, in the other half, be conscious, regardful of God. So these two are actually mates, and when we understand it, they actually come together in the completion of the religion. You know. So with that being said, with no further ado, I'm so deeply honored to have the Imam of the Nations Mosque here with us at Masjid Muhammad there, one of our very scholarly, learned imams in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Imam Talib and Tahira Sharif have joined us, agreed to join us and everything, and so it's such a great honor. I'd like to just extend the greetings to both of you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear brother.
Alhamdulillah. It's an honor to have you, Brother Imam Talib, and to hear here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And I have to say right off the bat, congratulations. I was very much aware that Tuesday marked the 43rd wedding anniversary for the both of you. And may Allah just bless you with many, 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 many more years and in all. And I'm so elated that you both accepted my invitation to give your marriage narrative tonight. And I know we have a lot of people that are tuned in, listening in and everything. And that song that we played earlier was just for the two of you. So once again, welcome to IWDM Radio and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
Yeah, thank you, Amen, for that. Appreciate
that. Yeah, brother, I just want to also say congratulations to you also and the host there, your co-host, on your 8 years. And
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you know, been blessed, you know, Imam Talib with two outstanding co-hosts, Manira Habil and also Quran Shakir. And alhamdulillah. So I'm flying solo tonight. So, you know, alhamdulillah. But I know that there are a lot of people out there that will be listening, tuning in. Want to also say to them, if you have questions and comments afterwards, I know that Imam Talib and Tahir would love to hear from you. So we're going to get started here, you know, tonight in terms of your marriage narrative. And Imam Talib, on the question of marriage learning lab, we always say ladies first, sisters first. So I hope you don't mind.
That's absolutely good, my dear brother. You know,
yes, sir. So, my dear sister, Sister Tahira, the first question I always like to ask that couple, and I know that regular listening audience want to know, when did you first meet? And when you first met, what happened when you first met? Where did you two first meet? And I'll go back and forth, and so we're not going to leave you, ma'am, Talib, out, because he might have a little bit different version, or he might want to say something a little different, and all, so we'll go back and forth in that order. So welcome once again to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Sister Tahira.
Well, thank you for having us. Appreciate it. It's our pleasure. We met, I want to say back when we were in junior high, 14 years old. Yeah.
Okay. Junior high. Yes,
junior
ma'am.
High.
So you actually went to junior high together, and give us a little bit more details of junior high. And yes, ma'am.
Yes, that's where we met. We were just friends, you know, and I had friends and he had friends, and, you know, they kind of liked him and his friends liked me. So we talked, you know, trying to get our friends to each other. And, well, you see what happened. We ended up liking each other, not our friends, but. Yeah, but that's kind of what happened. So we dated, I guess, throughout high school and got married shortly thereafter, you know, after high school. Started a family.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So right after high school, of course, junior high, 14, both of you, very, very young indeed, 14 years of age, and then went through high school together, still talking, liking each other. And then so right after high school, so it had to be somewhere around about 18 years old.
We were 18. He had gone off and joined the military. So that was in 1980. And he was gone for several months. He came back, and we got married. You know, we were young, 18 years old. So, and we're still here, 47 years later.
Oh yeah. Okay, so let me stay with you here for a moment, Tahira. What was it in terms of maybe when you were so very, very young? Of course, obviously there were other boys that that was in middle school and then high school. Or what could you say to our radio listeners, is something that you found very attractive in terms of Talib at that time? And then was it an attraction at first sight? Here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we never, say love at first sight, because we know how love develops, but was it attraction at first sight, Tahira?
No, it was not. He was a nice guy. I really liked him, but my friend was really interested in him. So as I said,
your girlfriends was interested in him,
and his friend was interested in me. So we spent a lot of time talking to each other for our friends. You know, they say you travel, you live, and you hang out together. You develop friendships. We just kind of liked each other, I guess. After a while, you know.
We call it the ABC.
Yeah, so we're coming to you. Okay, so now it's your turn, Amen, Talib. What would you like to say? And you know, you heard your wife in terms of her giving her version as to when you two actually met. You know, in junior high and all the way through high school, and after graduation, you went. What branch was you in? Was the Air Force?
Yeah, definitely in the Air Force.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. And what would you like to say in regards to what it is that she said?
No, I certainly, of support what she said. That's essentially what happened. But I just wanted to share with the audience that, you know, when it comes to what we say as CSD, ABCs of meeting each other.
Oh.
We met on the sea level.
Okay.
And that's where you want things to see. You mentioned A. A would be, you know, appearance, attraction, and also acting happens on the A level, you know.
Okay.
And then, because the B level is when you show briefs of yourself, but still not your whole self. And then, of course, the C level is the core now, the core and the character of the true of who you really are. And what got us there is, like she said, see, I didn't have to be somebody else. I didn't have to act. You know, it wasn't about appearance with us. It wasn't about, you know, attraction. Because, we were speaking to each other about someone else. So we were able to be who we were. And so, So we didn't have to do the A and B. We didn't have to even deal with that because we were automatically on the level being ourselves.
I see
something beautiful in her, and I was able to be myself, you know, and I was shy, you know, but, you know, obviously with her, I didn't have to worry about that because it wasn't about me, you know, because I was trying to. But again, we spent a lot of time just trying to coach for the others, and it just didn't work out. But we saw each other.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to see each other, and that's why we developed a friendship first.
Yes.
You know? And that's what was made it so special for us. From junior high school and on through high school, and I joined the military, and there's a story behind that, but I had to come in and get her. I knew what I was getting.
You say you had to come and get her.
Yes, indeed. You know, some people join the military, they don't come back. They go and get somebody else. I saw a lot of people getting letters when I was in the military, you know, John Doe letters and stuff. Things worked out different. But that wasn't the case. It was so meaningful because the foundation for us, that's what was set for us. You know, nothing was pretentious. You know, we saw each other. You know, clear. The compliment was natural. And again, you know, obviously attraction came later. You know, after we saw each other, because it was something in her that was strong. That I needed, and it was something in me that she saw that she needed. And, of course, you know, then the magnets drew us together. And here we are now, 43 years and 11 grandchildren.
43 years later. And we say that's
three children. It's 47 years later. And then it's marriage, 43. And then three children, and we adopted an additional three, so that's six children, and then 11 grandchildren.
Alhamdulillah. That's a big alhamdulillah. And you heard that bell ringing, you have used maybe say unconsciously words that's in the true love recipe. One of those words was friendship. When we got to the letter F, one of the key ingredients in true love is friendship. Very, very important, and you know we talked about that extensively in the natural development of relationships. Friendship either should be at the beginning or it should be developed in the courtship, and it is to be carried on to a higher level, even in the sacred institution of marriage, whereas then you can get to the point where you say, my spouse is my best friend. Your spouse will say that you are their best friend, too. So that's very, very important. The other, as you say, foundation, that's very, very important in the true love recipe in terms of foundation. So that's where you heard the bell. So don't get alarmed with the bell. It's not a sign for you to stop. We're going to continue with this, and I'm going to stay with you this time in the next question, Imam Talib. In the the courtship, and even though both of you are very young, and I'm thinking that it's safe to say at that particular time neither one of you were Muslim, but you, as you say, you were actually, I don't know what you can call it, say vetting for one of your friends and, you know, trying to help and assist them, and both of you doing that. And it's, I think it's very important that what you said, that you could just be yourself. It's not like you was expecting anything to really happen with her at that point and all. But talk to us a little bit, if you would, Imam Talib, that when you finally realized there was a genuine interest, and in that interest, what was it about to her that really was attractive to you? Any qualities, any characteristics, anything that's outstanding stood out for you? Can you share with us in regards to that?
Yes, yes, yes. Again, I'm just so grateful to the way it happens, and never regretful of the moments, of the time,
mm-hmm.
where it happened. It just happened kind of natural, you know.
Yes.
The nation part was there, but you know, I wasn't real committed because there wasn't a lot of Muslims my age at the time.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle again was Muslim, so that
mm-hmm.
was there, but again, it wasn't loud much.
So
life.
You actually were Muslim at that time.
Mm-hmm. I saw myself Muslim, but again, you know, nation, it was different. You know, in Wilmington, North Carolina. My
okay.
uncle, he joined in the early 70s, and because he was my mentor, so to speak, and
mm-hmm.
and that kind of what had me kept me attached to it. And then again, I just woke up later on and started really, really embracing it.
I'm really lying. No, that's
yeah.
good. That's good.
Yeah.
So to hear, you know, the same question I wanted to ask you. When did you realize that that was a genuine interest? You weren't the representative of one of your girlfriends in that regard, and your husband already said that didn't work out at all. And so we know, you know that, you know, they say that we plan, and it's often been said that man plans and Allah plans, Allah's the best planner. But Imam Muhammad gave a little tweak to that. there.
Yeah.
He says, no,
yeah.
he says we plan, but Allah has already planned. So Allah is independent of everything, space and time, and he already knows what is going to transpire there. And obviously it was meant for you two, you understand, to become marriage partners. What is it that really, you know, when did it first hit you, you know, I really have an interest in Talib. I really find
yeah.
something that's attractive to him. Could you share with the radio listening audience when you
yeah,
noticed that and what was it noticed?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, what you say, Tahir, you say me.
No, that's for Tahir. You had your opportunity.
Oh.
I'll come back to you.
Okay. I would say probably about 2-3 months in talking for our friends.
Okay.
We talked a lot. We just on the phone for hours. We would go
okay.
to the park, sit and talk. And
okay.
one day we rode with my mom to a park or a zoo or somewhere. And we were just walking and talking. And I was just looking in his eyes. And he was already a good guy. I knew he was a good guy. I could tell he was smart.
Mm-hmm.
He just was a gentleman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we were standing in front of one of the animal cages or something. And we were just looking at each other, and I leaned in, or either he leaned in, and we just kind of knew at that moment that I thought it was there, something was special. So from
mm-hmm.
then on, I think I was all in, I think, yeah. So
I'm going to laugh.
Yeah, but I had
so
to put
it's
my
just a look in his eye. You saw something like sincerity, like you say, you knew he was a good guy. You could actually just tell that. I mean, just intuitive, just watching his mannerism and all of that. And that's when you knew it was a genuine interest on your part in regards to him. And I guess it's safe to say you saw that it was a genuine interest that he had in regards to you.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm the
Eli. No,
go ahead.
I said, I think it probably happened around the same time for both of us, you know, I believe, yeah.
For both of you. So we're gonna get Imam Talib back in there. You just heard your wife say it pretty much was like the same time. You still remember that look, Imam Talib?
Yeah, I can't forget it, you know. It light just came on, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it was building because she was, you know, they say opposite sides of the fence. You know, 80% we were similar. You know, you got to have some opposite there. That's what their soulmate means. You know? And and she, again, I was shy, so it was difficult for me to be the one because and she was more at that time more outgoing. And you know, I couldn't explain what I needed at the time. You know, again, we're talking about ninth grade. You know,
yeah.
And,
you're young. Very young.
She was far on than I was, you know, but I knew that was something I needed to complement my life. But I couldn't explain that. I didn't understand how to say what I'm saying now. But it was just a natural thing. This person would be a good benefit for me, to help me. And because you know, you say you complete me, you know, about each other, you know.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I didn't even see it as a soulmate, but she was really a soulmate, you know. It wasn't about flesh. It wasn't about, you know, the outer. It was all about inner, with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was the same for her because again, I was more reserved, more thoughtful. You know, I would think more, and I guess the next day she was more outgoing. I was more introvert, you know. But it's interesting.
You were more the introvert. She was more the extrovert at that particular time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But again, you got to have more in common, but you got to have things that are opposite, and that's what makes it a mate.
Right.
You know, I got two hands. They got more in common, but what makes it a mate? I bring them together. The symmetry is there. The feet, the same thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I tell people all the time, but you don't have something. If everything is in common, if I had two right hands, that wouldn't work so well.
No, I love it the way you. I love it the way you explain because you know actually you know how you speak, Imam Talib and Sister Tahira. It's actually helping. You know, our radio listening audience as they tune in because this is a learning lab at the same time, and it's supposed to be informational and educational. I like what it is that you said. And I think you also mentioned the word commonality. I mean, you have to have something in common, you know. And I think that's so very, very important. And that's actually an inference in the Quran in Surah 30. That's Surah Harun in 21, where God says, you know, that among his signs is this, that I have made for you from among those that he has made, mates of like nature, that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility, and that he will put the love and the mercy between your hearts. Verily in that are signs for those who reflect. And I think the inference there, Imam Talib and Sister Tahira, is that to have the compatibility, the ability to be able to live and to work together, there have to be some commonality that have to be there. It can't be like one said up, the other one said down, the other one said right, the other one said left. One says good, the other one says bad, where there's no commonality. That helps to bring about the compatibility and also can and will ensure that there can be some tranquility. It's not to say that there's not going to be challenges, but commonality is so very, very important when you are actually talking about the sacred institution of marriage. So that was very important. And just the mere fact that, like you just articulated, you were more the introvert, she was more the extrovert, And of course, you can have appreciation for that, but it helps both to be able to grow and to become all that they can be. So I want to go back to our sister here, Tahera.
Yeah, let me make a
no. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, buddy, man.
That you mentioned. Why men are yatihi and kalaka lekum men and futakum as waj and liteskenu, you know, the Arabic of that.
Yes.
The Arabic of that liteskenu, you know, to tranquility, and you translated it tranquility, and because it means rest. But in that teskenu, and because when you say it in Arabic, you know, you got that meta over there, so teskenu, it kind of has a drop. And of course, the core word there is the sukun that's in the Arabic language that you put over better. That so if you got a and ba, which is two sounds, when you put that over it, then it becomes it can no longer be a ba, because it's a sukun now. It makes it one sound. So really, what you're just saying now about the complement. That you put sukun there and it rests over the letter. So that means, if you stop and rest and accept the compliment, you accept the compliment to your nature that's from you, then you're going to have that. And then because there are other things that Allah mentions about that comes after that. And that's the key, and that's one of the reasons we survived. We survived because that compliment it fluctuates. Because she keeps me grounded, you know. Because I'm involved in a lot of things, so if both of us were, then we wouldn't, you know. But she again, because we're still at that level of core. She knows.
Yes.
I know she's gonna be honest and true with me, and that keeps me centered. You know, when I retired, I retired after 30 years in the Air Force, and I had a guy that used to sing with the Air Force called Tops and Blues, which was the normal singing group, and I had a guy sing, "Ain't no woman like the one I got," you know.
And, I remember that song.
I was, you know, talking to her because that's the truth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I wanted to mention that because you just brought that eye.
I'm glad that you did because you know in the Quranic Arabia there's so much information, layers and layers of knowledge as Imam Muhammad have taught us, and that's something. That you always don't get in an expression or, as they say, translation. It's actually more and deeper in regards to that. And Allah, you know, revealing to us really the message is not just one layer. It's layers and layers of knowledge. You can take one Quranic Arabic word, and it has so much that's involved. That's why it's always that we all have to study the kind of Arabia as it was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So thank you so much. You know, we welcome that here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Thank you so much. I want to go back to you, Tahera. After, you know, your husband came back, you heard him say earlier he had to come back. While he was away, was there communication while he was away in terms of letter writing or what? I don't think we weren't where we are now with this modern technology and everything. And when did you really start to talking seriously about the sacred institution of marriage from your recollection? Can you share with us in regards to that, Sister?
I think we had talked about it before he left going to the military, probably for a year or so before we had talked about it. We kind of knew we were going to be together because we talked about it a little bit on, So we kind of knew. But it was still a little rocky off and on here and there, but we were still stuck there because we knew it was something, you know. But we never parted. We were always together. We talked on the phone here and there while he was away. So it worked out.
It was actually in the 10th grade. April the 12th.
It was 12th grade.
No. April the 12th of the 10th grade.
April the 12th of the 10th grade.
Of the 10th grade. That's when we decided.
Oh, so you're sophomores in high school.
At that time.
At that time, okay.
Yeah.
So I want to say, because, Imam Talib, since you were somewhat the introvert, a little shy or whatever, do you recall, and I know it's a long time back, so it might be testing both of your memory, who brought that up first? Who initiated marriage?
Okay.
Tara, you remember?
I don't remember that.
Yes. You don't remember that? That's fair, because that's a long time back to have to remember that. What about you, Imam Talib?
She was running things, you know. I was a staff person. So I was running my...
I love it. I feel like it's a new way of game. You say she was running things, so obviously if she was running things, she probably was the one that initiated. Would it be safe to say? Would you go along with that?
I'll accept that. Yes, I did. Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, somebody got to say something first in regards to that. Obviously, and really, you know, you have to applaud, you know, even our young people, even today, like you perhaps heard me in that prelude before bringing you on. We've had two couples that have been on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and one couple was junior in the IWDM high school there in Atlanta, Georgia.
They
set a precedence there where they had rules and regulations and everything. And, of course, there was some doubt, skepticism, in terms of them actually getting married while they were in the WDM high school there in Atlanta. But 13, 14 years later, I think they're in the early 30s, around about 31, maybe going on 32, still together, started a family. Both of them professional, went to school, completed their education. It can be done, and especially if there is dedication and commitment, prioritization and all, and they had the support of their parents. This is where I'm going now with both of you. I'm going to come back to you here, Imam Talib, in terms of her family. When did you first meet her family? Mother, father, and when that actually happened, what was your impression of them and what was their impression of you? That question goes to you, Imam Talib, first.
Now you're starting trouble.
Well, we don't mean to, Imam Talib. You know, as they say, it's water under the bridge now, but... It's one as the bridge now. You got it. Like you said, 43 years of marriage and 4 or 5 years even before that, you know, it's nothing in jeopardy.
Yeah.
You're not jeopardizing anything, Imam Talib. You might be helping somebody just by you giving this narrative, even if it didn't, you didn't get, wasn't good reviews at first. But share with us what you can, what you feel comfortable sharing, Imam Talib.
Yeah, you know, again, we were on different sides of the fence, you know, she and I, you know. And but the acceptance wasn't there initially, but it came later when they began to see me. I mean, they didn't know me like she knew me. Of course, once they know me, then of course the acceptance came. But it wasn't there initially. It was a challenge for us because it certainly
was there initially. Was it more, as you say now, was it more from a father? Because, you know, generally speaking, and you mentioned that we're natural and you heard me kind of ring the bell, so we haven't got to the letter N, but obviously that's in my true love recipe, the naturalness obviously is an important ingredient there. And generally speaking, what it is that you generally will find in fathers, especially in fathers that was in the home, actually took an active part in helping to raise up their children. Their daughters are very, very special to them, and they're very, very protective. And so you have to almost be ready and prepared to go through the test. You know, my daughters always tell, you know, somebody that they have an interest in, you know, you got to get through my father. And he's not easy. He's going to be asking question after question after question and blah, 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 you know.
My daughter might be listening right now. She'll be saying, add me to what you say. So we can talk about the kids later. But, yeah, no, the father.
Yeah. Okay.
The father actually, you know, he accepted me early on. You know, we did a little thing. You know, the father had a little thing where he challenged me. And I passed the test.
And you knew he was challenging you too, right, Billy Mapp?
Yeah, we had fun with it. But I passed the test. And, he had accepted me, but the mother was a little more difficult. It was a little more difficult.
She was a little bit more difficult.
But, yeah,
well, you know,
but,
it's always that father, future son-in-law talk. And obviously, probably one of the questions was that he asked you in regards to his daughter. What are your plans?
So, were
you prepared to answer?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, I had a good upbringing because my uncle had a big piece in it. But her father, he saw what she saw in me. His test allowed him to see what she saw, and he knew I was a good man for a daughter for his daughter at that time.
Alhamdulillah.
And, he tried to make sure that it was going to be no problems with anybody else. Over me, that I was going to be the one. Because he knew, you know, he saw, I guess, in his mind, the excellence in me at the time. You know, just a young, I didn't even know what was in myself, you know. But
right.
They were
mm-hmm.
things. But again, that mother was something else, though. But again, she had like five daughters, and she loved all the other kids, four.
Uh-huh.
But I became the number one son-in-law.
Oh, wow, So you had the secret sauce then, Imam Talent.
Yeah.
All right, Tahir, I'm coming back to you now, and all. You heard Talib say, and you probably witnessed that, and obviously, you know, you two had a little conversation, you know, with each other. Well, what did you think? You know, what did you think about my mom and dad and blah, 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 blah. I ain't going to ask you to say all that. But I am going to ask you, you know, he had parents too. What was your first impressions of his parents? And what do you think their impressions was? And do you think that you had to try to win them over in regards to that you was the one for their son? Talk to us a little bit about that, Tara, if you would, please.
His father was deceased, so
okay.
He wasn't. But his mom was there. And in the beginning, she and I got along pretty good when we were dating, courting, you know. We got along pretty good. Time went on. I think she just saw me differently, maybe because her son saw me as something different. You know how moms are with their sons.
Because
we had started spending a lot of time together, so, you know, but it was still a lot of love there for the family. It was.
Okay.
She was a deep mother, you know, I really appreciated her, you know.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
You said she wasn't what type of mother?
She was really a decent mom, you know, and I really
appreciated her.
Oh, okay. She was, yeah, she really did good by her kids, you know, but she was really a good mom. Oh, and I saw that in her, so I appreciated that. And his family, you know, he had extended family, his uncle and his aunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of got close to the family as well. So,
okay.
You know, it was good. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, like family reunions, get-togethers, what, you know, you always would probably be there and vice versa in that regard.
Yeah.
So you're saying he was well-received by your family.
He really was. He was, well, he was, but my mom is a whole different breed of a mother. But, you know, she eventually accepted him for a while. You know, he was not her favorite first, so.
Oh, okay.
And, but yeah, my family really. Mm-hmm.
So she was, you have to say, she was probably a little bit more protective and, just a little leery that, in other words, he had to really show her something.
True. And, you know, with four daughters, so.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. It's understandable. It's understandable. Usually you find the father be a little bit more inquisitive and a little bit more protective in that regard, but sometimes it's that way, you know. So it's the big day, you know. And so obviously it happened as you just celebrated this month. The timing was really perfect, as Tuesday was, what is that? Tuesday was the what?
43.
Yeah. 43. Yeah, so, right. So, at that particular time, everybody was happy that the two of you actually got together and everything. You had the blessings from the parents and the family and all. So, when that happened, pardon me?
Say that. Nope, I didn't.
Oh, you did.
We
okay.
We eloped. We went to the Justice of the Peace and got married.
Okay.
And his sister and the mom were there, but none of my family was there.
Oh, okay. So yeah, those just the witnesses,
right?
And all. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So alhamdulillah. And oftentimes, when you're real, real young, you know, I know that happened too, and for me too. You know,
mm-hmm.
Where it, depending on the state that you're in, you may even have to have a signature for that. And oftentimes it's just what they said, the justice of the peace, and pretty much by law is two witnesses, and there you go. You know, but obviously, obviously Allah has really, really, truly blessed you all 43 years. And we're going to take a pause for the calls. We're going to take a pause for the calls here, and we're going to ask our radio listening audience, if you just tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we have another outstanding couple, Imam Talib and Tahir. I have joined us here to this night, and they're giving a marriage narrative, and it's really, really informative marriage narrative, and hopefully you actually have learned something from both of them in terms of ensuring that, and we will be inviting you to ask questions to them and all, and you may want to make some comments, or some of the things that they may have said resonate with you. We do invite you to do that. Those of you listening in by way of the internet, you do have to call in, and that number is 714-816-4673. And we get ready to take a pause for the call, so you know I'm going to ask you to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this break. I thought we were going to take a break. I don't know if my engineer is there. So.
You put my neck on my shoulder. I love you. All these things. I love you. Yes, she made it a beautiful key. I love you. Mm-hmm. I love you. Allah, Allah. belly ache.
Aladdin.
He made the syrup for my pancake.
Aladdin.
All these things Aladdin. Yes, he made, yes, a beautiful kid.
Aladdin.
IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we have, as our very distinguished, esteemed guest couple, Imam Talib and Tahira, with us tonight. And they have been disseminating information, giving you their marriage narrative. I don't know when the last time they may have given a marriage narrative, but I think it's so appropriate after celebrating their 43rd wedding anniversary just a couple of days ago. This month. And so now you have the opportunity to ask questions or make comments, and then we also will engage them in the True Love Recipe just to get some insight and wisdom. And we already see that there's some insight and wisdom they've already shared with us. We'll be looking forward to their responses. And we'll be looking as for a radio listening audience also to chime in as we're looking at M4, would modesty be in your true love recipe? Would meaningfulness be in your true love recipe? Would maturity be in your true love recipe? And then we'll have a little fun with meekness as the last one. We want to see if it would be a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, full cup in your true love recipe. And remember, this is a recipe, so it's not like a right or wrong. You know, it's my recipe, you know, but would it be in your recipe? Man, feel free, any addendums that you would like to add or even deletions or modifications, I welcome them all. So, the priest, Abdul Hadi, engineer extraordinaire, do we have any hands raising? You can get into the discussion, if by the way, the internet, 714-816-4673, and you have to press 1, and my engineer will alert me that your hand is up and you want to ask a question or make a comment to a very distinguished couple tonight, the Sharifs. So, the priest of Hadi, any hands in the air?
Not at this time, Brother Mark, but I can wait till later, and I'd like to make a comment.
No, if you have a question, a comment that you would like to make, by all means, you know, we might have a shy audience tonight. You know, sometimes it's a shy audience, they don't want to say much, they want to listen more, or what, alhamdulillah, you know, I never run out of questions or what, you know, in that regard, but go ahead, DePriest. You got a question or comment for our honored guest?
Yes, I do, and thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum to each of you, and honey, I am DePriest Abdul Hadi, and both of you, each, all of us together, and don't start none out there in the studio, because everybody's getting a hug, too. So come on, we're going to get this group hug. Oh, thank you so kindly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I feel your love, and I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're feeling mine. But look at here, let me tell you, this is so wonderful. You are sharing this beautiful journey. And that encouraged me to play that song that I just played by Wilmore Siddiqui. And
yes.
I say, Allah did it. Allah did it. Mm-hmm. And that first one was by Suwai El-Amin. And
yes.
I will never let go of you. You know what I'm saying? I thought that, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, you are precious. So precious. Do you hear me? And it was such a beautiful, as Mark Shahid say, narrative that you all are sharing, have shared thus far with us. I think it's just so wonderful that at such an early age you all had the opportunity to, you know, to just comprehend that perhaps there was a potential for, even in my mind, a Mary. You know, and you do have some youngsters when they that age, literally, I'm going to marry you. Well, they don't know what they're talking about necessarily. But it's just a wonderful thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all to come through, you know, get that recognition at an early age and come on through whatever, you know, it was that had to be gone through. And here you are 43 years later to this fact. And listen here, now what's so really wonderful about it, if you made 43 years, I'm pretty sure you've already talked about the hereafter together. Oh, this is just wonderful. It's just wonderful. I just want to congratulate you all once again. Thank you so kindly, Brother Mark. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. That's our engineer extraordinaire. She's actually sitting in tonight. That wonderful job is always that she does. Engineering any one of these productions for me. You know, Imam Talib and Tahir, she actually hit on some points that I think, you know, we can't emphasize enough. Today, many young people, they're not thinking about the sacred institution of marriage in that regard. This says something to me about some good, strong family principles and values and obviously maybe good modeling in both of your families in that regard, because unfortunately many of our young people, in terms of their socialization, acculturation, they don't see that. They don't see that. And what it is that they may see, they don't want to be in that regard. And actually, amongst all the benefits is in the sacred institution in marriage, it is a model. It's a model for our children to actually see and be able to say, I would like to have that in my life too. Before we go to the true love recipe, could both of you kind of speak to that? Now that you've grown up and all of that, was it your parents, your grandparents, aunt, uncle, anybody in your family that maybe really was very impressive to you in terms of the type of marriage that they had and maybe sparked something in you at an early age that you could recall, you could share? Start with you, my sister, to hear, is that something that you could recall, or were you just being impressed without maybe said really just being conscious of the fact that you were blessed to be in a family such as that?
Well, I know I like being in a family, you know, because I had my family there, my siblings. I'm number 4 out of 7. So
okay.
I just always family, you know, and my parents were together. We weren't perfect, you know, my parents weren't a perfect couple, but they were a couple, you know. So that's kind of what I saw, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in a neighborhood where there were families. So I kind of saw that as a model of something that I wanted, you know, because all of my parents were still together, most of them. So I kind of saw that, I guess, and that's kind of what I wanted. And him,
yes, ma'am.
That he see that, you know.
Yeah, made an impression upon you. And, you know, a lot of times when we're young, we are not really aware that impressions are made upon in the Sister Learning Lab that I conduct here on IWDM Radio. We often emphasize the importance of the socialization and the acculturation, how that's structured. And we actually are teaching our children even when we're not aware of it, you know, that we're really sending a message. And our children are actually listening, and they're looking even when we are not even aware that we are leaving impressions. They know there's always a duality. It can be positive or negative. Imam Talib, as far as yourself and your family, when you look back, anybody in particular in your family that seemingly was like a model and that you could speak to have had some lasting impressions upon you in regards to the sacred institution of marriage?
Let me say it this way, my brother. You see, my wife had an environment, an environment that encouraged and supported marriage.
Okay.
And you know, obviously, human life, you know, it looks for models. Like that's why that's one of the reasons why your question is there, because that's part of human life, to look for models. And so, in her environment, she had models. She mentioned her family. In the neighborhood she lived in, they were families. They were together. So it was normal and it was natural for her to want that too. Now, I mentioned earlier that we were on opposite sides of the fence. And that's one of the things that presented some of the challenges in my being accepted. Because my background is more from the projects.
Okay.
He was more middle class.
He was
more middle class. So the way it hit me, and because she mentioned earlier, you know, my father was killed.
Okay.
And so and then we end up in these circumstances. But the opposite of how that affected me is that I didn't see a lot of families.
Okay.
But I wanted a family.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
My mother had married young, and she started the family. That's why we're here. And of course, things happened that made that that stuck with me. That at a young age, I mentioned she was actually younger than me. We got married at 18. My mother got married much younger than that. And so I'm seeing families where the man is not there. You know, you know the girls in the project situation.
Yeah,
and mothers are raising the kids. So that part, and then again, now the nation piece comes in. My uncle again, he, you know, some of that's with me now. Although I didn't, so to speak, I wasn't part of the fruit, you know, the junior fruit, you know. But
okay.
You know, I was, you know.
Now you came. If you were 16 or older, just what he's talking about for our radio listeners, everybody's not Muslim, but in the Nation of Islam, under the honorable Elijah Muhammad, if you were 16 years or older, you were with the men. If you were under that, you was what we call the junior fruit, FOI, the fruit of Islam. So just to give them something so that those that don't know. Go ahead, Brother Imam. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to make that part clear because, and again, I explained the situation that we didn't have a whole lot of young
Imam
people.
Talib.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Imam Talib, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
The priest of Hadi? Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so
I can hear you now.
That's not here, but my uncle's situation, him, first of all, he was the model for me on a lot of things. And that was the one that he's the imam in Wilmington, North Carolina. So he was the first one in our family to embrace, and that's what obviously led to me being Muslim as well. So that's the impact. And again, so you can see the two scenarios that push something that so it's really that's it's natural to want that, you know, because I One of the things about marriage being a part of faith, we hear that and we take that lightly. Some of us do, but you have to understand that you're one of the reasons why it's important, because you have to have faith in the institution that produced you.
Yes,
and
sir.
And want to have that's part of it, because you know that's part of the faith, right?
That's right.
Have faith in that, because two people produced me.
Yeah.
So that's what's a significant part of that. So in my nature, although I couldn't explain that, understand that, enemies wanted that. Although
mm-hmm.
I didn't see that in my environment, I just saw a lot of women raising boys and girls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Different situation. There weren't a whole lot of marriages going on in the neighborhood that I was in. But something
mm-hmm.
in me pushed me to want to have that. And so we were ninth grade, 10th grade, and here we thinking about marriage.
That's not something you always see. At that time where both of you were adolescents, that's not something that you always saw. And it's not very prevalent today in society today, as they say, they rather just shack. And I always say that when you're shacking, you're lacking. You're lacking all the benefits in terms of the sacred institution in marriage, and know that Allah, this is His institution. And the Quran gives that in Surah Furqan, the 25th Surah, and the 54th verse of the Quran, you know, where Allah is saying that He created the human being from water, and then He established the relationship of lineage and marriage, and know that Allah has power or influence over all things. So what you're saying is very important, because Allah has already influenced us even in our very nature and our soul to have the yearning for what it is that we may not have seen and experienced. Case in point, I had a daddy, but I never had a father, and there's a difference. You see, mm-hmm. if a male is not impotent, he can become a daddy, but a father is a role and a responsibility. So what happened was, I said, I don't want to be the man that my daddy was. They actually have a song in that regard, but I didn't. I wanted to really be a father to my children. I wanted to be there for them. I wanted to have a positive impact in their life. So it is possible for you to be in a social environment and actually a culture that is not conducive by the standards in terms of how that child would actually turn out. Would it just become a revolving door, repeating the same traditions? Traditions can be positive or negative all over again. So, no, I do understand. I understand that perfectly. But this is Allah putting that in us, that natural urge for wanting to have the good or the best things, as He has created us in the best of mold. So thank you so much for that, Brother Imam.
Yeah,
you hit it, Brother
Shaheed, you know, and that's what we see. When the ones who want to shack and do other things, really, they are going against their very
mm-hmm.
nature.
That's right.
Is natural. But again, I'm saying, even in that environment, I didn't go against my nature. Something in me that's natural urge, aspiration, and all my God Allah within us, you know,
yes.
to be whole, to be complete, you know, to have that wasn't killed in me. But he's killing the environment, and we know it's so wonderful that you even, this program that you have is a very, very important program during the times, because that's what's under attack, what's natural for the human being. It's under attack right now, and you just mentioned this one element, just the courts, just the sacking court piece. We didn't even talk about the other piece in terms of defacing the nature and going into the other things.
I might have to try to get you back another time, and we're gonna have, we'd like to have that discussion and to get some of your insight and wisdom in terms of that, because this is really, truly a problem, you know, that I wasn't confronted with in my time, and you came along a little bit after you and Tahir, and you weren't confronted with that at that time. But just think now, if we have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that maybe parents are listening, what our children are confronted with, this is why it's so very important that we have our own schools. We give our children at least a foundational education. And like Atlanta, you know, blessed to have not only the Sister Clara Muhammad School there, but the W.D. Muhammad High School that's there. I mean, they have to be in that same environment that you should be constructing in the home life, in that first social environment, which is the sacred institution of family life. It's so important. And when you send your children off, it should be a reinforcement of what it is that you're teaching in the sacred institution of family. And you're right, the sacred institution of marriage is supposed to produce that family life. You know, we're going to love the babies when they come, but there has to be the commitment, the dedication, the role and responsibility that Allah has given to us and defined in the Quran in terms of what it is that we are supposed to do, al-rajul, kanamuna, anisa, the men, or to be the protectors, the maintainer of women in that regard. And also the role and responsibility that women have. You know, years and years ago, it wasn't about taking to a daycare. It was mother care that was first and foremost. And that was the primarily responsibility, and it was accepted. You saw better children that came from that type of environment. So, inshallah, at some point, I really would love to get you back and have that conversation in regards to that. But we're going to shift gears right now. And I want to say to our radio listeners that if you just tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Mark Shaheed. And our special guest tonight on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as they've given their marriage narrative, very, very intriguing, very informational, and I think very educational. Imam Talib and Tahir have joined us here tonight, sharing their marriage narrative. So if you have any questions or comments, and maybe you just enjoy listening, but we'd like to hear from you. And for that to happen, all you have to do is press 1 if you want to just give the greetings and just want to make a comment. That would be fine, too. So we're going to move to getting some we just got a caller. Okay. So we're going to go to the caller and see what they have on their mind. Okay, let's go. Depresa, who do we have?
219-617.
Assalamualaikum.
State your name.
I know that number.
Well, alaikum salam. My name is Akram Wali Bilal.
Alaikum assalam to you, Brother Bilal. Thanks for calling in. You have a question, a comment for very honored couple here?
Well, first I want to give everybody the greetings. Assalamualaikum. Rahmatullah. And Imam Talib Weiss was speaking, remind me of my situation. If I heard it correctly, said that she was a Jehovah's Witness, and they would stay on the phone and start talking a lot, if I heard it correctly, you know. And I want to know from the Imam's wife and the Imam, how did that part go, you know, by the wife being a Jehovah's Witness and Imam Talib, I don't know what part of Christianity you probably was in or was you even part of that, you know. But how did that go, you know, with the family? Because I was telling my wife, Halima, that, you know, we used to talk, you know, just like that. And I said, and she said, Wally, you hear what Imam, his wife said? I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to call in. I just want to hear from them You know, how does that correspond? You know,
and
Imam, get a greetings to my brother. He's probably listening to Lyndon Bilal. Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Bilal, for calling in. Good question. Which one of you want to respond to that? To her, you will have something to say, and then Brother Imam, you.
Yes.
Go ahead.
My apologies for the misunderstanding. I'm a Jehovah's Witness, so if I express that, my apologies. That wasn't my intent. No, I was raised in a church. So
okay.
My husband and I was singing in the choir, and he would sit in the back of the church because
okay.
he didn't believe in going to church. So he just sit in the back of the church, and when I finished, we were together. So, yeah, I was raised in a church, not a Jehovah's Witness. But, no, he wanted no parts of the church, though, no.
Okay, good for clarifying that. So, okay, Brother Imam, did you want to have something to say in regards to that question?
Yes, alaykum as-salam to my brother Bilal and to Lyndon also, Commander Marva, and to our dear sister Halima. Certainly appreciate you, Brother Bilal, for calling in. And but, yeah, again, you know, again, I had the nation in me. Again, that was the foundation for me.
that nation in you, Brother Bilal.
it was there. But the religious piece at that time didn't come up. It was just this on natural the relation just was a natural relationship, you know, because it just that all came Bilal brought that up. So I already let you know that I wasn't really practicing strong, you know. I mean, going to the temple at the time, that kind of thing, wasn't really practicing strong. After the marriage. So it did present some problems. Let me just go ahead and share this with the audience so they'll know.
Yes, sir.
So I was 18, and I was in I joined the military at 17. Then by the time 18, I was in the military. It brought me to D.C. And that's how I get out here. And obviously Masjid Muhammad now, because it's an honor for me to be leading it now after having really strengthened my life with religion started there. And so I really got into the religion at 18 studying. And so now I'm really getting, you know, the teachings that Imam was in, and I'm getting close to that, and I'm studying everything. And she's not Muslim, so now I'm standing up more with this Islamic life. So it presented some challenges. for us, but the good news, because it was making me, you know, you mentioned the term maturity, Islam.
So we're going to be talking about that in a minute. Go ahead, Brother Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. we weren't really all the way there, but obviously when I really stood up with religion, the strength and need, you know, it really pushed me to a level, and, you know, because it became difficult for her, like she mentioned, she was raised up in the church, and so we came to her, and then of course trying to balance that. I'm gonna go ahead and say this here. There's some humor in this, but she don't let me talk about it. I'm gonna just say this because I know people are gonna know that.
Don't get yourself in no trouble, now, brother.
Anyway, let me just say this. So anyway, I came home one day. I was, you know, young in the military. I came home one day. We lived in an apartment, and we lived on the third floor. And so I'm getting off work. I come home and I open the door. It's kind of dark. By the time I get home, you know, it's a little dark. So the light's on in the hallway. And so I open the door. And you know, if you can just picture opening the door on the third floor, the hallway, it's dark in the house, but the door open. It creates like a triangle, right, from the light and the door.
Yes.
And strategically, at the end, at the point of where the point was on that triangle, was a book. And because when I picked the book up, I was in the house now, and everything in the house was gone.
What?
And the book, listen to this now, Shaheed, in the order. I guess there's something funny now, you know. This is one of the things that you say. Yeah. The book was entitled The Vanishing Bride. And she was gone.
The Vanishing Bride was the name of the book.
That was the name of the book, The Vanishing Bride, and she was gone.
She had vanished. Her mother was, while I was at work and pick back up everything. And we were 18, you know, and she was gone. So that was one of the songs we had to weather.
Well, yeah. Well, you did. You really
her mother had put the book there. Her mother had
the book
there. She put the book there to me when I opened the door, and it came right there. And I see that, and they didn't want to have no problem.
And you went right over and picked the book up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So what did you think at that point, Brother Mel, since you opened up that door? I mean, it was like opening up a can, open up that door. So what came to your mind? What did you do wrong? Was that the first thing that came to you? What did I do wrong?
You know, well, I was having some conversations, you know, about,
okay,
you know, the,
all right,
you know, but then I'm studying, man. And
okay.
So she reminded me it was Christmas time, and of course, you know, that's very important to Christmas. And
okay.
So obviously, she wasn't working at the time, and because again, like I said, we were young, just kind of got there, and she's going back and forth with the mother, and I guess they couldn't have that, and their mother, they worked the plan to come and get her, to get me out of that crazy, you know, trying to turn me into a Muslim. People became Muslims, so they had to get away with that Muslim.
Well, that's a good one. Anything you want, I can't overlook my sister here. Sister, anything you want to say or add to that? What your husband said.
You know, it happened. It's true. It's something we could laugh about. You know, at this
time.
You
can laugh about it now. Okay,
I'm good at that. It did happen.
Well, you know, that's you know, when we say laugh, laughter is in the true love recipe when we hit L and when we had Imam Fahim Shuaib on. And that, once again, is in the Quran. You'll find that in Surah 53, Ayah 43. It's a very short ayah, but it's very substantive, where Allah says that it is He who bestows or grants laughter and tears. And thinking about that some years back, I said, now what is it that Allah is revealing here? And one of the things that I got from that short ayat is that that's a mercy. That's a mercy from Allah. Yeah. Just think about the human being being an emotional being. But just imagine not having an outlet, not having an outlet for the emotions. And even tears don't have to be tears of sadness. It can be tears of gladness. So this is a mercy that Allah gives to us. He has bestowed and granted laughter and tears. And you know,
and we had shows going on back then.
You know, even in the medical field now, they have found that for patients, if they can bring laughter to them, it's part of, sometimes, of the healing process. This is over the years of study and research and all. Just wanted to say. So a lot of times, you know, that's I think it's a part of my true love recipe, but I think should be part of couples' true love recipe. When you can laugh at your mate, your mate can laugh at you, you can laugh together. And you can laugh at yourself. You can laugh at yourself, you know. You know. So, alhamdulillah. Go ahead, Tahir. You had something that you would like to share?
Pardon?
That was me.
No, I thought it was something that you had that you wanted to say.
No, I was going to say those first 3 months of marriage, we were happy, we were in love, but we weren't really mature enough to start that journey, you know. But we did. Allah blessed us to keep going, you know, because we wanted to marry, you know. But like I said, I left within the first 3 months of the marriage, but he came and got me. So, you know,
yeah. You know, it kind of reminded me of that movie. No, I'm not comparing you to the. You remember that movie with Tyler Perry, the anger of a mad black woman, and it was sitting at the table, and her mother was played by Miss Cicely Tyson, who I think was one of the great outstanding actresses of all time, and she told her daughter that you have to forgive this man because he was very abusive in the relationship. And she said, you have to forgive him for yourself, if not for him, because you never will be good for anybody, because until you're able to forgive, it's the old saying go, that you'll be a prisoner, and that prisoner will be you. So she followed her mother's advice, and they were sitting like a Sunday dinner. She took off her ring, wedding ring, and she set it beside him. You know, because he had asked her to forgive him. She said, I forgave you a long time ago. Gave him the ring back, and she stood up. And her mother asked to say, where are you going? And she said, I'm going to get my man. I'm going to get it. And, of course, Tyler Perry was playing the grandmother and said, well, go on, get it. Go on, get your man. So it's like that sometimes, you know, these type of things, you know, in the relationship, you know, you might have to go and get her, or she might have to come and get you, you know, in that case. And so those of you who have seen the movie know that she ran through security and everything looking for him. And the security said, ma'am, you can't go back. You can't go by that. And so when she finally got to him, he had asked her in terms of marriage early on in the movie, but she wasn't ready because she was still suffering from the previous relationship. So when she saw him, she said, now ask me again. Ask me again. She was ready at that time. So, you know, alhamdulillah, we can go through that. But that's good. Alhamdulillah, thank you for sharing that. Let's get into the... Pardon me? We got a caller. Oh, okay.
So we got three callers. Okay,
let's go. Let's see what the callers is. We would take the president over anything here. Who we have up next? Teresa Hadi.
At 816-813. Assalamualaikum and welcome. Thank you.
Malaikum assalam. This is Sister Najma. How are you both?
Alaikum assalam. Go ahead, Sister Najma. You got a question, a comment for our
guest? Yes, I do. First of all, I want to congratulate Sister Tahir and Brother Imam Talib for 43 years of marriage. That's wonderful. It's so beautiful. And Brother Imam Talib, congratulations on your successful trip to Israel. It was that special as well. I am working with Mava. And my questions are kind of centered around the military aspect of your relationship. To you, Sister Tahir, as a military wife, during the times that your husband was, traveling, going to different places, did you get help from the military unit, like the Air Force wives? Did y'all help do things together? And also during that time, Brother Imam Talib, how did you maintain the relationship with your children as their father, as evidently you may have been gone a lot? Those are my two questions.
Thank you so much, Sister Najma. Please press 1 as you go out the queue. Who want to start first, Tahir or you, Imam Talib, in terms of those two questions? How did that affect the relationship? Of what type of adjustments had to be made?
It really wasn't that bad for us. The blessing, the mercy, and that is he didn't really travel a lot. He went off to school, you know, for months at a time. It wasn't a long time. You know, I would often go wherever he was and visit. But we pretty much traveled together most of his career. So that was a blessing. And he was always like God Father, so that was never an issue. It was always good.
Allahu Akbar. Brother Imam, you want to add anything to what your wife
said?
Yeah.
One of the things I would also do is back then we had cassette tapes. I did a lot of cassette tapes and mailed those and spoke about that, those kind of things. That was something that they were able to use. Is where I did it with. In fact, Gilmore Siddiqui, you played him. That's one of the things way back.
Oh, okay. I really like that ingenuity there.
Yeah.
So you were able, you utilized that as a facility in terms of for communicating with your family.
Yeah, I was using the cassette tapes. That's one of the things. When we couldn't use telephones, you know, I was using cassette tapes. You know, I remember doing those back then, during that time.
Alhamdulillah. That's a great answer. So hopefully that answered your question, Sister Najma. Good question, too. So thank you. Okay, Dapreesa Hadi, who we have up next?
478-422, assalamu alaikum and welcome to Courtship and Marriage. State your name, where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Who are you and where are you from?
This is Sister Fatima Sharif from Robins Air Force Base, Georgia.
Alhamdulillah, welcome. You got a question or comment?
Assalamu alaikum, mother and father. I do have a question.
They already knew. It's like I could just see their face. No, go ahead, Sister Sharif. What do you want to say? What would you like to say to your mother and father?
I would like to say, I have a question, but I would like to say that from the start of their 14 years or 43 years and being beautifully that they were 14 years old starting out, what were some of the challenges as young teenagers transitioning into adulthood as a couple, as far as personal growth, family life? What were the challenges of marriage, being young and transitioning? How did you all navigate within your relationship and family life?
Very excellent question. Who want to go first? Tahir, you want to start? Or do you want to start, Brother Imam?
How do we navigate?
Hopefully all start at the same time,
you know,
please.
When you start out, you have to be patient with each other, which, like, I would say my maturity level wasn't there where it should have been, so my patience level wasn't where it should have been, so that kind of created a little bit of there. But eventually we got past that. I kind of got past that, but I would say a lot. I'm going to say this. I think had my husband not gotten as solid as he was in the deen, we probably wouldn't have made it. That's
a long way, but I'm
going to say that because he helped me. Even though I wasn't Muslim, he still helped me. That all of that still played a role in my in development and my maturity, I'll say. So, I'm going to let him speak a little.
That's beautiful. I just got to just say that is so beautiful, and our listeners need to hear that. They really need to hear that, and thank you so much for sharing that. All right, Brother Imam Talib, what do you have to say to your daughter?
No. The other thing was we had a support system, and that was a significant part of the key. I was 18 years old here in D.C. We had our life started in D.C. together, really, and we were very young. Community was very strong here. Great support system. And there was a couple that was much older than us, and this brother was in the Air Force too. He and his wife were there. They helped us significantly. They helped us. It was a maturity level. Obviously, religion was strengthening me, but then her maturity had gotten strong. That's why we were to get back together and then to grow, because she eventually I never mandated her to embrace religion, but she embraced religion on her own.
Allah wa Akbar. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, but that was the key to have a strong support system. To help
system.
Us not people in the amen corner for you to be a part, but really to help do the challenges that you have as young people. And we had a lot of we're young. We didn't have a lot of money. You know what I mean? We were trying to have 18 years old, had an apartment, had a car, had bills, those kind of things, or other things in the world. But we did not have that support system. of the families. Mm-hmm. And then because babies came, because you know, I got one of my daughters on the line. She was born in D.C. And then they have families to help us. You know, we worked together. That was the key, you know,
that's
helping
right.
us, you know, to stand up and not being around. We were not around anybody that didn't support our union. We and that's what can't do that. We were around people who were married, not around single people. You know, at that time we were young. Even then, that's one of the things that helped us to stay together, but also to strengthen the life of our.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with
that. Well, you know, I think you're about the third couple that we've had on that brought that to the forefront. And so this is something that we really need to ingest and digest, really take it in, but really understand how important community life is, and how important the sacred institution of marriage is. In that regard, you know, as you hear Imam Talib and his wife, Tahira, you know, say that she got her strength, you know, in terms of him getting stronger in the deen, and then he was getting strength from his community, and they both was getting support from the community, which is so vitally important, and especially when you're young, when you're young, and they knew that they had some growing to do, you know, inshallah, we'll be able to get to that key, one of the key ingredients in the true love recipe, which is maturity, and all that happens over a period of time. It's a natural evolution of, you know, coming together, interacting together, going through the ups and downs, so to speak, the good and the bad. You know, and be willing to go again because it's going to produce the type of human being that Almighty God, Allah, wants. And so only Allah is independent. We never get to a point in our life that we can say we're independent. Allah created us to be interdependent. That's a homework assignment. For those who listen in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's I-N-T-E-R, dependent. And Allah has said that in the Quran, and we know that Allah is Al-Hakim. He's all-wise. He knows exactly what he was creating, and he knows exactly what it is that he has established. And it's a body, a system body of knowledge that comes along with all of that. Thank you so much. You got anything else you'd like to say to your mom and dad before chime out?
Just no. Congratulations on 43 years and 47 of knowing and learning each other, and I am grateful to be a part of your tribe.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in. I know your mother and father, they really appreciate it. They probably got a big smile on their face. I'm smiling myself. Thank you. Yes. Press 1 as you go out. And. Yeah, well, like my slime, don't be a stranger. You always tune in, Courtship and Marriage. All right, the priest of Hadiz, are still hands in the air?
Yes, 301-785. Welcome to Courtship and Marriage, and state your name where you're calling from. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Brother Kashif from Washington, D.C. And
Wa alaikum assalam. Welcome, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Question or comment?
My question is, both Imam Talib and Sister Tahira have grown in the deen, and especially with the Imam growing to the in his deen to be the Imam, what advice would you give people, especially young people transitioning into adulthood and thinking about getting married and in that transition period, what advice would you give on how they should go about it in, you know, today? How should they go about seeking a mate and the process of getting married in you know, as we are today?
Alhamdulillah, great question. All right, who want to go first? You want to go first this time, Imam Talib? The question is an excellent question.
First, I want to say I alaikum as-salam to our dear brother, Kashif. He's also an imam, too. Very respected his family.
He's being modest then, okay?
His father, and everybody should know on here, his father, also Imam Gaif Nur Kashif, was also go back to the nation. He was editor of the newspaper. He was a Korean War, I believe, veteran, if I remember correctly. He's very instrumental in the Muslim American Veterans Association that we have right now. His father. He's a giant. He's not with us now. We make prayer for him, his soul, his son, strong, his family. His son that you just heard from, his sons, and all the children, really, they are all active in the community. His wife runs the garden. We have a community garden. His wife runs the community garden, Sister Phyllis. The Boy Scouts, they're an active scout. They participate. We have delegations that come to the masjid. The sons and daughter, both they participate, speak, and we're just proud of them, very proud of them. And we pray for his whole family. They continue to grow and be models themselves as well. So the question right now, obviously the environments are much different than. Obviously, my wife and I spoke about our time, you know, and our challenges. Obviously, we had a different environment during then. Of course, the more we go back, the more we see how the environment was different. And we see now, you got social media, you got people now in all kinds of space meeting each other now. In fact, you don't need, I mean, social skills are really, it's disappointing now because that telephone. They would prefer to have that, and they can do all kinds of things and multitask at the same time. With that computer on the hill, but one of the keys that we shouldn't get away from is family involvement, close, because again, I mentioned that my wife and I, we got to know each other. You know, it wasn't really on that A and B level, and that's why my family's point and you know these Walis, those kind of things are. Very important, families, knowing families, bringing families together, putting our children in environments. So we can. That's how we know. That's why you can't hide, you know, who you are. We can get our children need to see who it is, you know, and what happened is someone find out later. I didn't do that the first time I thought you were, you know, and because they're on the other levels and not on that core level, you know. So that's what we recommend now. Do things. Don't jump into it. And, you know, some people under the guise I just met, Muslims don't take long on courtship, so we need to go on to get married. No, you get to know the person.
That's right.
One of the reasons why it didn't take long because families knew each other. They knew each other, and they didn't have to take that long. But right now, you got to take some time now, you know, because the other side, you're gonna be quick about getting out of it. But you're gonna take some time getting out, depending on how you got into it. And that's what's happening with a lot of them. Now. They jump in without having, you know, we were able to get to the core level, which was friendship. We became friends, you know. And honest with each other, so we can see. And I knew it. I knew what I was getting with her. I knew. I didn't have to guess. I didn't have to wait. You know, I wasn't surprised by anything. Nothing surprised me. You know, and I knew her. You know, but that's what happens now. You don't get to know each other. You are surprised, and you be like, "Oh, I didn't see this." You know, where this person come from?
But you know, brother, ma'am, just keep your thought there because what you're saying is really paramount. This would be considered idealistic, but realistic, like you're saying today, it can be overemphasized or underscored in terms of oftentimes you're trying to select a mate that may not even live not only in the same state but not the same city, don't go to the same masjid. The social environment was totally different. You're talking about since middle school going through that getting to know each other, going through high school, being pretty much raised up together, doing things together, maybe a culture center or something, going different places, actually being able to see her parents and vice versa. All of these things, they may seem insignificant, but they're very, very significant because before you even took some vows, the friendship had already been initiated. And oftentimes that doesn't happen today, and you don't have the luxury of actually interacting with each other, you know, of course, in an environment that is conducive for you to be in and everything. And a lot of that is missing today. And so what you're saying, it is vitally important to really get to know that person and that person really getting to know you. I mean, the real you in that regard. So please, I had to say that because that was so, I didn't want that point that you made to just go over the head of people because of what your experience and Tahira's experience actually was fairly important.
No, Jack, you hit the core point, and that's the thing I want to emphasize even for now. Take time. You know. Obviously, you know, the environment is a little different, but you still have to find people. You got to do your research. You know, you got to find out. You got to do the references. I mean, if you don't know somebody in another state, you got to get references. Then you got to put them in certain environments. You got to go. You got to play games with them. You got to do things because you can't hide. You can't hide who you are for so long. You know, it's going to come out.
That's
it's
right.
Gonna come out. And they say them warning signs, right? And some people get married and say, "I saw that, but I still overlooked it." You know, these warning signs will come up. No, people show you who you are. Believe it. You know. And trust that, you know. That's what we're saying. You know, we got a lot of young people. You know, people going to be looking out for them. But still, they got to get to know each other. They might be good. You know, you might find somebody and say, that's a good person, but they might not be the best person for you. They might be
there you
person.
Go.
But see, you got to find also someone that's going to compliment you. If there's no compliment from you, then, of course, as you begin to weather the storm, you don't have that compliment to keep. That, again, that's how my wife and I are able to make it because she compliments me, and I compliment
her. And vice versa, and you compliment her.
Yeah. If you don't have that, then, of course, you're not going to last long. You're really not going to last long. And so you got to know and see if this person is a compliment for me.
That's right.
Not that they're good, but are they the best for you? You know, that's the thing. Is that a soulmate?
In other words, brother and ma'am, what you're saying, it may be two good individuals, but you're just not good for each other.
Right, that's right.
you gotta go back to the ayat because Allah said that what he has made, but you got to find that mate. You got to find that soul mate, teammate, that workmate, that love mate.
Right.
You got to find that one because there's a lot that are out here, but everybody is not your mate.
Everybody can make it. I mean, if you wear a size 9 and you got two pairs of size 8, they look real good. You put shoes, but they're not for you. You need a 9.
You know, it's humor, the truth can be fun sometimes. Let's go, the priest of ID. Any more hands in the air? We want to get all the ones that are waiting. It started late, but any more hands in the air? The priest?
We have 718-749.
Okay.
Welcome to Courtship and Marriage. Assalamu alaikum. Take the name.
I know that number. This is like one of the propagators.
Sound like a propagator. Well, yeah, my brother, Mark Shaheed. My brother, brother, man, Talib Sharif and his wife, and Tahira. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who are you? Because I know everybody know that famous voice. I know it.
I know it,
but please oblige the rest of our listening audience, if you will. Who are you, and where are you calling from?
This is Jeffrey McGillicuddy from New York City, also known as William.
AKA, Kareem. Come on, William.
William Kareem.
Birds of a feather flock together, and that's the
only way. Birds flock together.
That's right, and brother. Why you just? I want to say that.
Propagated.
It was truly an honor to be with Masjid Muhammad, the Nation's Mosque, during last Ramadan, and we got up there and did a big presentation that the social media world has really, really enjoyed. And I wanted to thank you again because we didn't really plan it. You know, it's just something that happened. But it went so well.
And, you know, so many people enjoyed it. So I wanted to start there, Brother Imam Taleb, by saying thank you for the inspiration for that. The other question that I really have, and it has to do with marriage, of course, but it has to do with, you know, the decision that, you know, people who may have already been married and wanted to get married again, but it seems like, you know, sisters, you know, especially sisters that may have, you know, formed, you know, a single parent clique where they hang out with each other and, you know, they are support for each other, which is a good thing. But for a brother to enter that clique, and, you know, he, you know, may say that, you know, like, I'm really interested in the sister, you know, it, a lot of times it's difficult to pull her out of that or to get her interested because it's like it's an ego booster for her that, you know, a brother is interested in her, but it's like for her to turn a brother down, a Muslim brother down, it's like, you know, you know, and then go back to the clique, guess who wants to marry me? You know, that kind of thing, you know, when sisters start talking to like that. You talk about coming together and getting together. That seems to be, you know, like a difficult situation as far as our relationship is concerned that I've found.
So that's your question. Brother Imam, I think he directed that question directly to you and of course, Sister Tahir, you also can chime in on that. Brother Imam, you want to respond?
Yeah, first I just want to say it was a pleasure having you here in D.C. That you spoke about. It was an honor for me, you know. I grew up on the music as well, and of course it was good to do a duet with you, so to speak.
Yeah, man, you're a natural, brother. You're a natural.
You brought it out of me. You know, we compliment each other too, man. So we think we're the best.
No doubt.
I just appreciate that. And I hope we can do it again. And,
no doubt.
Yes, sir. If I understand the question and what you were saying, I mean, obviously, you know, we there's age involved. People are older, and that's what I think you're just speaking about. Everybody has to have, you know, life. It has to be an environment to support their life. So everybody has to have an environment that supports their life. And you mentioned cliques. You mentioned cliques and those kind of things. And that happens. Again, that's something that happens naturally. As you get older, you begin to have people that, you know, support your thinking, support your way. And then I wouldn't be discouraged and just like the point you made, guess who interested in me, that kind of thing, and they go back to the clique. And, I mean, that becomes they are significant as those close to them, just like a family member, you know,
right.
some of them. So that's kind of important, you know, because depending on how long those relationships were, you know, obviously that's something that you get to know that sister. And again, I would say go past that and still get to know the sister beyond that, because, again, some things or types of mechanisms, defense mechanisms, whatever it may be, even, you know, because of the associations. But the interest may still be there, and you may have to bring it out through different things, you know, getting by that environment, also in other environments. I've seen some travel. I mean, you're older now, so, you know, a lot of the depending on where you go, some of those other things that some other communities may put in place and be so strict may not be necessary for someone your ages, you know, to go to other environments and see how people are in other environments as well. But the bottom line is, if you see a compliment there, then you should explore it, you know. And, you know, just people have been married. They may not have had their mate. Bottom line is, Allah doesn't put any soul here that he doesn't have everything also here that they need that's for them.
Yes.
Some people don't find it. There's not Allah's fault if you don't find it, you know. But you could have been married. that might, Allah may want you to get something else out of that. That may not be the mate, but that doesn't mean that mate is not here. You know, you're saying, I'll never get married again. No,
that's right.
So you're still not supposed to, you're not supposed to give up, you know. Continue to look for that. And that's the advice I would give you at this time if a wife wants to share anything as a sister.
I would just like to say that it's not only as far as on the brother's side, but on the sister's side also, that, you know, I think that a lot of times they find it difficult to make a decision as far as a brother is concerned because of circumstances and situations that wouldn't allow them to do so.
You know, we're going to have to continue this because we're getting close to wrap-up time here, but that's an interesting question that you posed, Brother William Kareem. And I do want to give our Sister Tahira an opportunity. Anything you'd like to add to that, Sister Tahira?
No, not really. But I think, Brother, like my husband said, the age, you're at an age now. If that's what you want to pursue, don't waste any time because you're already at an age, already been married, you know, and something good could pass you by if you don't pursue, you know, take the time, you know. And when we do talk, we share, you know, sisters, we do talk and we share, you know. We know each other. We know what each other want and don't want, so to speak, a little, you know. So we women are. They're going to communicate, so don't let that deter you, you know. So.
Okay. Don't let that be a kind of deterrent. Okay. Thank you so much, Brother William, for calling in. I was trying to get everybody in early, but you know how it happens. It always happens late when you're up against the clock on the wall, so to speak. But thank you so much for gracing us and coming on and want to say that Brother William Kareem, he's also an executive producer of A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio. Very, very, and he has some outstanding hosts on there, and he also hosts a show each and every Tuesday. It's titled, believe it or not, Why Muslims Don't Want to Get Married. You need to tune in to that because we give each other a plug on our platform and want you to tune in, listen to all the productions, and especially his production, Why Muslims Don't Want to Get Married. And he gives a lot of things that's in the minds of Muslims that we wouldn't think that they would be thinking and prioritize over the sacred institution of marriage. So we ask that you tune in. That number is 515-605-9326. Once again, that's 515-605-9326. And he's on in the morning, afternoon, depending on where you are. And I think that would be, would that be like 10 to 1? It would be 10 to 1 Eastern Standard Time. 10 to 1 Eastern Standard Time. It'll be 9 to 12 Central Standard Time. And, of course, it would be 7 to 10 Pacific Coast Time. So please tune in and listen in. A lot of great information on his platform. But all the other hosts that he has some outstanding hosts each and every day, Monday through Friday. And now he has a new production on Saturday. If you could very succinctly, Brother William, give that information, your new production on Saturday, if you would.
Yeah, we do a Saturday production along with American Muslim 360 from 10 to 1 called Artistic Sound and Creative Content. Where we play artistic sounds for the first hour. The second hour we have an interview, and this Saturday we're interviewing a young man named Tyler the Animator, who has an animation company. And then on the third hour we do the Quick Hitters experience, which brings the whole idea of hip hop and what it all means to the pioneer generation. Thank you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you so much, Brother William Kareem, for gracing us here on IWDM Radio, and prayerfully that some of the listeners tonight that will tune in to a new day for Al-Islam Community Radio. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, Depriza, I guess we're close to the end. Do we have anybody else with their hand? I don't want to leave anybody with their hand up. Depriza.
We have 773-449. Assalamu
okay.
alaikum. Welcome to Courtship and Marriage. State your name and where you're calling from.
Samira from Chicago, and Brother Carlos and your wife, Tahira. I met you before in person, and I just want to congratulate you on the many years that Allah has blessed you. And Brother Carlos, he really seems to have a good grasp of knowledge on marriage and mating. And my question, I couldn't resist asking this. If you find out that after you have married someone, that possibly some people may say you're not compatible, there is a way that you may end that relationship with an affirmable agreement. It shouldn't be any harsh or animosity or anything. And a lot of times it comes out to be that, even amongst Muslims. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, maybe through your experiences where people may have gotten married and then they decided that that person was their mate, and maybe the way that they ended that relationship wasn't an honorable way? Could you elaborate something like that?
Thank you so much.
To the party, preferably the sister.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Amir. Please press 1 as you go out. And Brother Imam, good question. How would you respond?
Sister Amira, alaikum assalam. Again, thank you for calling in and sharing that. Certainly, there's a precedence. What you just said, there's a precedence for it. During the time of the Prophet, the press peace upon him, where something just like what you said happened. You know, they found out they weren't compatible. And, you know, again, in fact, in this case, I think the Prophet was the one that helped get them together. And he didn't want it to be unsuccessful because he won many, but it didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
And, of course, so that's
and that actually, Brother Imam, that actually was his cousin.
See, alhamdulillah. See, that
that was a marriage that Allah actually ordained. Mute the mic, please, Capriza. Yeah, that was actually, I just want to just say that because it actually was his cousin, and he actually helped he and his adopted son, Zaid, to get together. Yeah, so go ahead, Brother Imam.
Yes. So there's a precedence for it, my dear Sister Amira. And of course, it was on equitable terms, you know, and that's how, and that obviously that it was modeled as an, so that's how it should be. And of course, you know, I don't know every situation in terms of how people, some people are getting what's called Islamic marriages, where they're not getting civil marriage. Some are getting both. Some are getting just a civil marriage. And of course, obviously, you have to go through those avenues to come out of those marriages, and that complicates things to some degree. But irreconcilable differences is generally what it comes down to. That's generally the rule that you use in that case. That was essentially the case in the example that we're speaking about now. Irreconcilable differences, and then of course. Depending on how you went in, then you come out. If you went in Islamic, then of course you come out of Islamic, which means that there's an agreement, a contract takes you in, then of course you got to put something in writing to bring you out. And of course, if it's civil, then of course that's a whole nother case because other things can be factors in that. But the hope is always that they follow the guidance of Allah, because I guess we're talking about Muslims here. And Allah always encourages, you know, to do things to be on the best terms. So that happens. That happens. And you track it off as experience. And you learn there's something that's been permitted. You met and you came together, didn't work out. But then you learn about yourself and you learn about the situation. And then that gets you ready for the next one, inshallah. Don't look at it as something that's bad. Just look at it as something that's chalked up as experience, you know. Because things happen. Something puts you in a situation that you thought was there. And again, that's why we're saying now, get to know as best you can. You know, again, there are a lot of factors that prevent in-depth learning, but do as much as you can, you know, to get to know people, to find out if there's a fit. That's the key. Is there a fit, you know? Again, good is not best interest just because they're good. And he may have been a good person or she may have been a good person. But again, like we said earlier, not good for you. So that's why you got to see, you know, you got to make sure that shoe is the one that complements you. You know, the right complements the left. You got two size nines. They both should complement each other. And that's the way it should be. Bottom line is it is permissible and irreconcilable differences and they should be on honorable terms. They should always try to be on honorable terms.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Imam. Excellent response and answer to Sister Amira's question. And we are at the top of the hour. We didn't get to any of the ingredients. But I would just like to just maybe say if you could give a succinct answer to maturity, because we have been that word has been said quite a few times on this particular broadcast. And so I want to give you opportunity, Brother Imam, to go first on this. Would maturity be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly be a true love recipe, maturity? I want to give you maybe say a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and then I'm going to give your wife the same amount of time. Pardon me? Oh, was that the priest?
Yes, we have one last caller.
Okay, so caller, I'm going to put a time restraint on you. If you got a question, a comment, you got to get right to it. We're up against time. We're going to give you 30 seconds to ask your question. And then we're going to ask Imam Talib and his wife to hear if they could be very succinct if it requires an answer. Okay? Let's go. This is the last caller to you all.
Yes, sir. 219-617. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. This is Sister Halima Bilal. How's everyone tonight?
Well, everybody's doing fine. It's even better. That you
I want to say real quickly.
No, go ahead.
I want to make this quick because I'm not calling for myself. Sister Zubeda?
Yes.
She wants to ask a question. Sister Zubeda? Madiam.
Yeah. I sound like Brother Imam Zubeda from Chicago, and congratulations to you and your wife and whatnot. I wanted to quickly say that I just want to weigh in as 61 years of marriage. And I wanted to just ask this two quick questions. One of them is if you can briefly tell us what's with this going in and jumping out of marriages. You know, we have Muslims that's been married 4, 5, 6 times. And when we were coming up, we didn't have nothing like that. Then I also want to know that once they have finished up their marriage or have divorced, there's still a continuous communication, even though they're not supposed. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that they're supposed to, you know, hate each other after a marriage, but what's with that? You know, I just always wondered with that, how come they don't move on and whatnot, but they're still continuing to talk with each other as though they were married.
Okay, good question. Okay, so thank you, Sister Lameda, and I'll be getting in touch with you very soon. Okay, press one as you go out. Brother Imam, could you be as succinct as you possibly can? Two great questions.
I just have to, I'm very honored to hear from my dear Sister Zubeda, and we love you dearly. I'm just glad that you called.
Oh, yes.
We thank Allah for you and all your years of service. And we thank Allah and we pray Allah sustain your utility and your health and your well-being as well. The quick answer now is that patience. They're going in and out is because they're not being patient, you know, and looking for what they pray for, you know, rather than accepting what's in front of them. That's the quick answer. I don't have time to do a whole lot more because of time. Yeah, because there's always, I don't know the ages of this where friendship is there. Just have to be careful with those because they can get in the way. If you're looking for a mate, maintaining those relationships when you come out one can be a hindrance or deterrent, an obstacle with another person trying to come in when you just got out of the relationship and you're still maintaining close ties. So just be intelligent about it. You know, again, some of this is based on age categories too, young and older, in terms of dealing with that. That's just a recommendation.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. No, great succinct response. And so we can always take that up and maybe become a topic at another time. Thank you, Sister Beda. It was an honor to hear from you, and I'll be in touch with you very, very soon. And we on maturity, real quick, about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, if you would. And let's start with you, Brother Imam, if you would, in that regard. How important is that? Would that be in your true love recipe? And if so, why?
Yes, if not,
would it really truly be a true love recipe, Brother Imam?
Yeah, it's in there, you know, because maturity, mind, it brings it to the mind. If your mind is not stable and you don't have a certain amount of wisdom, and then you're not going to be able to weather the storms. And that, again, my wife and I, we mentioned that we weren't mature, and you saw what happened. We mentioned, we shared that with you early on. We were 18. We weren't there mentally to deal with certain things and because that stress got there. But, you know, Allah blessed us with the support we had to help get our mind to the point and because we learned in the wisdom. So it is a part of that. The love recipe to sustain it and to strengthen it. If you don't
have it,
then, of course, that's good to sustain it, and certainly not going to be able to strengthen it.
Yes, sir. Well, excellent answer. Okay, would maturity be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, would it truly be a true love recipe without maturity as a part of that?
I think it would be difficult because we need that maturity so we'll know how to deal with and handle the challenges that occur, you know. So you need a certain level of that, I believe. And with maturity, I think communication, trust, all of that there together, too, you know, it allows you to have all of that, you know. So, yeah, I think we should have a level of maturity in there, you know. I think it would help, or it does help, yeah.
Yes, ma'am. And you did hit upon one of the key ingredients in the true love recipe when we was on seed was communication is vitally important, and the mutual consultation and all of that, and the maturity helps us in terms of the responsibility that we would share in the relationship. So that interaction helps to bring about the maturity. This was part of God's will and plan to bring about the maturity. Everything is He's a Rabbil Alameen, the nurturer, the sustainer, guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. And so we bring that into the picture, and Allah brings it into the picture for us in terms of the importance of maturity, because everything He created, He wants it to grow, to evolve. and what he has established, he wants that to grow. He wants that to evolve, and then the return is a better you. I want to thank both of you tonight. It's an honor to have you, Imam Talib and Imam Talib Sharif, and also Tahira Sharif joining us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I have enjoyed it immensely. I really have, and may Allah continue to bless you with many, many more years of marriage, beautiful marriage. You overcome a lot of the tests and challenges that we have in marriages. You shared all that with our radio listening audience, and I pray Allah that we have all learned something and been really inspired and motivated by your marriage narrative. Thank you so much.
Now, you're welcome.
Thank you.
This has been a blessing and an honor for us to be here, and we certainly appreciate you, the show, and the invitation that you extended to us. We're grateful to that, and we pray also for all those in the audience that are listening and tune in every Thursday to the show, and we pray that Almighty God Allah maximizes the wisdom, the excellence that comes out of this show, so we can really begin to change the narrative on how marriage is perceived in the society that we're facing right now.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Tahira, did you want to have a closing comment also?
Inshallah, if we put more emphasis on trusting our gut and our heart and what we believe with our mate, we have to put our trust in each other. You know,
mm-hmm.
if we have a foundation there with trust and communication, and always put God, you know, put Allah in front, you know. And I think, you know, it'll last.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say this, back when we were coming up, I think we wanted to be married. You know,
yeah.
we wanted family, community. It's different. Our children, well, maybe mine, they know that, but the generations coming in now, they don't really have that because the communities are slowly dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
So we figure
yeah.
out a way to get our children and grandchildren back into the community. And that'll
yes.
help, I think, those as well, you know.
Alhamdulillah. That's excellent. And you heard me ring that bell because you hit on another key ingredient in the true love recipe. We haven't gotten to it yet. In the alphabet, which is T, which is trust. You know, trust is a must. Trust is a must, or else the relationship will be a bust. Pardon me?
He out here bragging, saying he got more bells than this.
No, bells. Oh. Well, your wife have to hit on another. You know, trust is so important because well, you know that, but I just have to say that trust is so very, very important because without trust, you don't really, truly have a marriage. You know, it's not, it's a part of the true love recipe because you got to, what your wife said is paramount in that you have to, you trust in Allah first. That's number one. She said, put God first and foremost. You trust in God first. You trust in his revelation and what he revealed, his word, his will, and his way. And then you have to trust in your mate. You have to do both. That's so vitally important because just think, what if one person don't trust the other or vice versa, or neither one trust each other? Could you really call that true love? And would that really be a marriage? It's like the oil of the relationship. It enables it to run smoothly by trusting first Allah and trusting each other. So I just want to thank both of you all. I mean, you gave some excellent insight and wisdom in sharing your marriage narrative with our radio listening audience, and I know they greatly appreciate it. Calls came in late, but they lined up like 10 soldiers. So I want to thank you. I want to thank the radio listening audience because without you, there wouldn't be an IWDM radio. And a special thanks go to my engineer. We're actually working a little overtime, Dapreesa Abdul Hadi. She's such a wonderful believer, always answering my beck and call. And I really, really appreciate her. She's done an excellent job tonight in engineering And a special, special thanks to our honored, very distinguished couple, 43 years of the Sacred Institution of Marriage. May Allah continue to bless you with many, many more. You're actually a model for us here in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Thank you so very much. And the door is always open here at IWDM Radio, Brother Imam and Sister Tahira, for you to come back at another time. Thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you and us. As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah. There you have it, an extended version of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. What a treat, you know, that we received in terms of listening to our very distinguished, esteemed couple, Imam Talib and Tahira Sharif tonight, as they gave their marriage narrative. And a very, very special thanks to my beloved sister, Halima Bilal. I can't forget her, because Allah has put it in her heart and her spirit with the contacts that she have to make references and refer these type of persons that's in our community, and the willingness of them want to share. And I'm also asking our radio listening audience to please, if you know of couples, you understand, that have long-lasting marriages, or maybe when they got married young and still married, and or please give me a call at 314-435-7213. That's 314-435-7213. I'd love to hear from you, and we will arrange to get them on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as we are trying to promote the Sacred Institution of Marriage. This is something that Allah has established. We want you to know that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Salat to Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio with the email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. That happens each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central, 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Salat to Jumu'ah here on IWDM Radio. And we got a new production coming up next Saturday, which is September 23rd. The very distinguished Imam Mikhail Sahir. It is going to be a Muslim book club. Yes, you heard, a Muslim book club. And the first book is going to be Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, The Mother of Our Nation. This is a two-volume book that can be purchased, and we'll get that information in terms of how, where it can be purchased. We'll have that on the next broadcast. So please stay tuned for that so you can get it. And it's going to start at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. That is September 23rd, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. So you definitely want to tune in for the reading. It's an outstanding publication. Many have picked it up. I bought a whole case for St. Louis, and I sold out in one day I sold out. And everybody that began to read, they said, once you pick up the book on the Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community, Sister Clara Muhammad, you won't be able to put it down. That's how good it is. And it was authored by one of the educators extraordinaire, Sister Zahira Muhammad, who passed away. But IMAS made sure the last publication was completed, and for them, we thank them for being able to complete what Allah had put on a mission to do, and Imam Muhammad authorized her to do that because he was unable to do that. So this is what you want to hear. This is going to be the first of the books that will be read and have discussions here on IWDM Radio starting on September the 23rd. The longest running production is on Sunday. That is Words Make People. Sounds familiar. Once again, with the Imam Mikhail Sahir, it's each and every Sunday afternoon starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words Make People, the beginning of the week. My good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. He hosts a show called ABC, like 1, 2, 3. It's Al-Islam-based conversation, and it happens each and every Monday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. So please tune in. Relatively new, 3 months in. Tune in and have that conversation, Al-Islam-based conversation with Imam Nazim Pasha. Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shahid, they host an outstanding production in terms of the science of your health and you learning lab. So you can learn about yourself, bring your pen and pad, a lot of terminology there. It happens each and every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Wednesday, the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That's the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shahid. Each and every Wednesday, it starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And it is followed by the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shahid, as I like to bring and present to you, very distinguished, esteemed guests, inside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside the community, and topics that are pertinent to us, the community. It happens each and every Wednesday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And you just heard it live tonight, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shahid. That's each and every Thursday night. And it happens at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And we also want to give an endorsement for our engineer extraordinaire. That's Depresa Hadi. She's an outstanding host on our sister station, AM 360 Radio, each and every Saturday, new time, you all. And it happens at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 4 p.m. Central Standard Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. That's Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. It's designed for new shahadas, but seasoned shahadas, as she liked to say. And you want to tune in to that because it is truly a learning lab. There's so much information, education that she disseminates each and every Saturday. And you can tune in. That is two numbers, 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. Or you can dial in on 425-292-4253. That's 4253. So we want to make sure that you get those numbers correct. And when you're just sitting at home on Saturday, just relaxing, all you have to dial in is to American Muslim 360 at that time, and you will get Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab, and you won't be disappointed, I guarantee you. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal, which is the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. Please keep up your subscription if you have the wherewithal. Try to get one for a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, maybe a pioneer, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. And we also want you to know that IWDM Radio, we do support and endorse this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful that will be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. Please be there. I look to be there and want to see you, or at least hear you, because I don't see so well these days. So you see somebody stumbling and bumbling around, that would be me. So please go to the MuslimJournal.com and begin to register, so you still have time to register for this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful. And so I want to thank everybody. And so until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. That's all, folks.